What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb FM Zlotnik here.
Hello and welcome to PH, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it. Mm-hmm. Really great to hear it, as always, pal.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm the one on the week off this week.
Nice.
Yeah.
A man of leisure.
I am feeling it. Loose as a goose, as they might say.
How's it been going so far?
Good. I tell you what, we had a night away a couple of nights ago. Went to Ballinter House in Meath.
Oh, nice.
Some country house job.
Very nice. Was it good?
Yeah, it was lovely. Now, I don't know what I'm putting out into the universe, Andy. I tell you what, because... We got there early and we were like, you can check in at 3. So we're like, grand. We'll get to the drawing room, have a bit of lunch, glass of Prosecco, nice. You know, and then...
I like that you call it the drawing room as well.
Well, that's what it was called, Andy. It was the drawing room, you see. So we then went to check in at 3. Oh, your room's not quite ready. Okay.
Okay.
No problem. Yeah, you said 3, but okay. And then... So we had another glass of Prosecco, and we were like hanging around, and then we saw other people checking in about 20 past 3, and we're like, oh, the rooms must be ready. We queued up, went to check in. Yeah, just let me check with the people there, and they're like on the mic. No, it's not quite ready. We'll come get you, though. It was like, okay.
Oh, back. Okay. Well, you'll come get me.
Yeah,
great.
Okay.
Well, that makes up for it still not being ready.
Yeah, back to the drawing room. And then it was like, now we were about to order another drink and they came and got us. And I was like, okay, that's probably for the best. And then we went to the room, beautiful room. It kind of felt like I was on holidays. It didn't feel like, because we were like staying, they have like a thermal suite. So they had like a, you know, a sauna, steam room.
Ooh.
They had an outdoor hot tub.
Hello.
Let me tell you, that was relaxing. But our room was like on that side. So you're kind of looking out over the countryside. It was kind of like a loft, I'd say, the best way to describe it. It was really nice. And we had, you know, lovely time in the thermal suite. We had pushed our dinner back because we were late checking in.
Yeah.
So we pushed it back from 6:30 to 7:45 in the drawing room. And we rock up to the drawing room. And they're like, oh, yeah, have you here for the restaurant? 7:45? Like, No, the drawing room. I don't. And then he's like, I don't have a table for you. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure.
This is some hotel.
Well, now look, your man, in fairness, he looked after us. He found us a seat. No questions asked, whatever.
What's the name of the hotel again?
Ballinter House.
Ballinter House, yeah. People.
Now, like, I think the hospitality service in general, I'd say, are like up the walls with COVID restrictions.
Probably,
and stuff
yeah.
like that. But they were doing their best. The other thing is they brought out, instead of I had cod and chips ordered as my main, they brought out a burger and chips.
This is unbelievable. I thought you were going to say like a different fish or something.
No,
like,
the burger and chips. And I was
a
like,
birthday cake.
They were like, did you order the burger and chips? I was like, no, I ordered the cod. And I was doubting myself, like, face, like, no, you ordered the cod. And then I was kind of regretting it because the burger looked fucking amazing.
I'll be honest, a burger is my go-to when I go to any kind of restaurant that serves them, really.
Like, I had been talking about the burger, like, the week leading up to it. Like, I'm going to get chicken wings to start and a burger as a main. And then we had burgers over the weekend from Wow Burger. So I was like, you know what? We had burger the other day.
Yeah. Okay. So,
and the fish was delish. You can quote me on that.
Nice rhyme.
Yeah, you can quote
me. I will.
But it was a very relaxing stay all the same.
That does sound nice.
I didn't let any of that get to me. In times past, I might have been blowing my stack.
You might have been punching a few sweet boxes behind the till.
Oh, remember that? Huh? I was only talking about the shop today. Good times.
We've come a long way.
No problem. Yep.
It's like, and can I just get a 2 euro all cash? Yep.
Why didn't you ask me that when I was up there?
Uh-huh. Tell him, give me the whole order while I'm standing here.
Yeah.
Was Bonnie with you, or was it just the two of you?
Oh, no, it was adult time.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, I'm
and there was a TV in the room. I got to watch TV in bed. good
Brilliant.
Stuff.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, excellent.
So I've been feeling very... Now, and even I had a massage...
You're looking loose, if I may say.
Thank you very much. I had a massage booked for the next morning. And unfortunately, now the one of the masseuses who was doing me called in sick, so I didn't get my massage.
You have an amazingly this must have been some trip, because you have an amazingly positive outlook
I'm
for this
feeling
hotel.
Chipper,
shafting you at every turn.
It's testing me. The good Lord is testing me.
Like, it's fine. Hey, yeah. It's cool, man. Hey, man. You're giving off serious dude vibes today, if I may say.
That's just your opinion, man. So yeah, but I've been enjoying the week, let me tell you.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
How about you?
I've been good. Joni started doing jiu-jitsu, which I'm very happy about. I didn't even really have to push it at all. She had really wanted to do it. She's done like 3 classes since the last podcast that we did.
Brilliant.
And she's got the little outfit and everything, and she's loving it. And it was excellent. The first time, like, I sat in there and I was watching her, and I was so like oh, my heart was just like, because she's like really shy anyway, and so like she's going to the space, all the girls and boys kind of know each other, and it's like, okay, everyone sit on the mat or whatever, and she's just kind of sitting there, and I could just, you know, see on her face, she's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Now, chances are that was me projecting the whole time, and she was probably totally fine. But yeah, anyway, she loved it, and so hopefully she continues it, because I was kind of like, I'd like for her to get into something, but like the fact that, like, so if she, it's early days, but if she sticks with it, great. The fact that it's self-defense is an added
it's a bonus. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, my sister got Rosie, my niece, started on, she's big into her Billy Barry dance stuff, but that finished up, I think, so she has it doing the GAA, and she was like, good way to tie her out, but like, again, like, Rosie loves it, which she was brilliant. Like, she was like kicking and screaming, not wanting to go, and then you get them there, and they, you know,
it's great. It's so great to have just something, some in interest, like on the side apart from school, you know. So yes, excellent news for me anyway on that. Okay, you gonna do me like that? How long? I'm gonna take a swig out of my 5-gallon jug.
Let me just mix my cocktail right here.
While you do that, go on.
A naggin of vodka from the freezer.
A naggin of vodka.
I found the naggin lying around the house, and I was like, you know what?
I'm 17 again.
I'm going to have a drink. So I got myself my nice glass, lovely bit of ice.
And you got your lovely drink that you said you'd mix with a bit of vodka that you had last week.
No, that's now, you know, that's now.
Sour twist.
That piece, I tell you, there was nothing sour about it. That was the most disappointing thing.
It's just bad.
Yeah, I'm going classic, Andy.
What's that?
Vodka and Lucozade. You can't beat it.
I can't say I've had the pleasure.
Well, here's to you, Mrs. you. Robinson.
Anyway, I tell you what I've been up to. I've been to the cinema.
Oh, going tomorrow.
On Saturday night. We had ourselves a little free
Saturday
evening as
night
well.
At the movies. Who cares over what picture we see? With my lady.
Joni was at her cousin's, so we went to see A Quiet Place 2.
Is it good?
It was excellent.
Mm.
It was so good. Right up our street.
I actually have the first one on Blu-ray, and I haven't watched it. So.
Oh, watch it. Yeah. Now, I think the second one's better, to be honest. Now, I don't know if it's the fact that it was the first adult movie that I've seen in the cinema for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that played a part in it, but I was blown away, Terry.
Blown.
It was very well written. It was a great idea. It was very well acted. Cillian Murphy is just brilliant.
He's great, isn't he?
I love Cillian Murphy. And Emily Blunt is great as well. She's brilliant in it.
Big fan.
Even John Krasinski makes an appearance in it and all. He was
I assumed he died in the first one. no spoilers. I don't want to know how he died. But I know I assumed he died because he's not on any of the marketing, and I know he directed
Both,
did he? Yeah.
Yeah, and so. Wrote.
Well, he wrote them as well. Good for him.
Yeah, he's doing well.
I wonder, did they have the trailer for Candyman in front of it?
I've seen the 30-second trailer, that when it comes up on YouTube videos.
Looks good. I think that's coming out like 27th, I think.
Brilliant. And is that Jordan Peele directed or did he just produce?
Produced. Nia DaCosta is the director of Candyman.
It's supposed to be good. Looked good.
Yeah, it's been delayed for since before COVID. It's been in the can for a while and they were just like, we're not willing to not release this in theatres.
Yeah.
But I think now they're kind of like, well, we can't actually push it any further.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm surprised. I was thinking even when it came out or when I seen the ad that it hadn't been remade earlier. Seemed like a franchise ripe for a remake.
They did a sequel. They did Candyman 2, Farewell to the Flesh. but brilliant. that was like an extra vision, you know, horror Friday night vigia rental, you know?
Yeah.
I used to love doing that. Did you guys do that? Where you go down and rent one of the weird horrors from Extra Vision.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know.
Or we'd get, or like,
The Gate or something like that. Or like, do you remember The Gate?
I don't remember The Gate, but I remember from Extra Vision is just all the covers. What stands out to me are the covers of the horror movies. I didn't see a huge amount of horror before I was 10.
Right.
But I just always remember I remember the Hellraiser cover. Mm. I remember, you know, The Exorcist. I remember a few of these.
We were doing it when we were 13. It would be we're going to go down and get a horror and stay over in whoever's house and watch it with the lights off. You know, that was a big thing for us.
Brilliant.
So remember we all watched the movie called The Matriarch?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's the granny of a family dies and then comes back to life possessed or something like that and is running around. She's the monster in the film. And it's I think it's the night of her funeral or something like that. And at one scene it's she uses the scissors to cut off the cock of somebody... And just she has it in her hand,
he's all dying, laughing.
We're just it's supposed to be scary. We're all pissing ourselves laughing, but it was she just had the cock in her hand. She's and just threw it over her shoulder, really comically,
That is made different for time. A 13-year-old audience.
Different time, man.
I tell you another movie I've been watching.
Oh sure,
that I did watch on Netflix. I got a taste for it after A Quiet Place. So I wanted another kind of disaster-y sort of movie. So we turned on The Fifth Wave.
Now, don't tell me.
Oh, I'll tell you. I'll tell you all about it.
Who's in it?
I don't know. You're the girl who I always confuse with Elliot Page and the girl from The Last of Us.
The Fifth Wave. Oh, it's Jesus. Chloe Grace Moretz.
Didn't think that was her name.
She's from Kick Ass.
Yes.
Liev Schreiber is in this. Hello.
It was a real.
And also the girl from It Follows. She's in it as well. Maria Bello.
Yeah, you would think that it would be a good movie.
You got Ron Livingston.
You're naming a bunch of people
Ron
I've
Livingston
never heard
is,
of.
Because he still looks the fucking same. Is Office Space.
Oh, your man, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I tell you, it was a wasted opportunity. They had all the pieces together and they just
didn't. It's some young adult sci-fi shite.
Exactly. The dialogue was from Twilight or something.
I bet you.
But it was 16 was the rating. So I thought, okay, grand, it'll be a good. They completely wasted good effects and, you know, good actors, really.
Because the cast there is not bad.
Yeah. So I thought, you know. So that I would miss that one, to be honest.
Sounds like a miss.
I also watched a documentary about shiny flakes.
Cool. You're going to have to elaborate.
It was a German, and it was in German, Terry.
Oh, and you had your subbies?
Two in a row, and had the subtitles, yeah.
Nice.
And it was a bit documentary about a guy who started a drug business from his bedroom, selling them online. It was the inspiration for that show on Netflix, How to Sell Drugs Online Fast, or whatever it is. But he was just real, like, he didn't do the drugs or anything like that, but he just would start and he'd put together this, like, really good-looking website and just would sell them, and then it just got bigger and bigger. And
what is he selling, though? Like, shiny flakes?
No, like, shiny flakes, I think, it's just a name, like, a description.
Oh, it's not a street name, like...
Well, that was his alias or whatever, or the website was called Shiny Flakes.
Okay, get you. So the drug, I thought the drug name was Shiny Flakes.
No, but they'd sell everything, like even like prescription medication and all that sort of
stuff. Big thing on Instagram now, isn't it? Like Instagram dealers are a huge thing, like apparently.
Exactly. And this was all in like Germany, I think. But it was excellent. I would recommend it. It made me want to watch the thing.
Is it on Netflix?
It is.
Okay.
Shiny Cakes or something it's called. Okay. Very quickly, the last thing I watched over the course of a couple of evenings as I was falling asleep. Tip. Road Trip.
Oh yeah, goddamn right! It's a beautiful day. And here's something I want. We were talking about the Naked Gun a couple of weeks back, and I foolishly said it was Burt Ward, when of course it was Fred Ward, who is in Road Trip, and he is amazing in Road Trip. I'm not mad.
You know what?
I've been coming here for 20 years.
It's such a weird movie.
Yeah, it's very, very weird, very odd.
Tom Green is just shoehorned in and clearly like wasn't really given much of a script, and they're just kind of reacting to him being...
I will say he's not terrible in it. Like I don't think he's the worst thing about it.
No, I don't think so either.
But yeah, it's
very of its time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I didn't find myself laughing at all. Like I was like, where are the jokes here? But yeah, I remember when I was 15 laughing at this bit. Or
there's something about like that whole DJ Qualls, like sex thing that I'm like, what was that trope that everybody seemed to love? That it was like, you know, bigger lady and little tiny man. Like, not a fucking chance that woman would be attracted to that little pipsqueak.
I know. Like, it was just so like, I'm like, okay. Or there was loads of times I was just like that. Like, okay.
Yeah. You go, and then it's like very obvious. Smoking weed with the granddad, or like, you know,
the dog's like, hey grandpa, you gotta get me some, you know,
there's also the weird it. Like the guy who becomes a cult leader, like the
was RA. The guy from Dazed and Confused, the nerd or whatever.
I think he was one of the guys that talked about Kevin Spacey as well, kind of making an approach when he was younger. I think but there's a weird thing in that bit where he impersonates the professor on the phone, and when he's doing to,
like, put on like the voice, black voice, voice.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like, oh yeah,
he's like, that's fine, you know, like
and like he'd be like, okay, great, thanks,
cool. Again, it was like, who's hot at the moment? Like Breckenmeyer was in like Can't Hardly Wait, and like four or five other like teen comedies. Like
Sean William Scott, he's just coming off
Stifler, like
And he's basically Stifler in this as well. Like,
but he's not as fun. That's the thing. His character is not really fun.
Yeah,
in that one,
there's a missing element. He's like, there.
His character is he gets laid.
Yeah,
you know, he gets laid, and then it's like. Now I will say, there's something about that scene where he's getting like milked
the finger.
It's a great, I think it's a great performance where he's like, it is. He's like, stop, okay.
But what is it that a movie like Road Trip is missing that like a movie like American Pie has?
Jim. That's what it's missing. Like, who's the Jim? Like, I don't care about Breckenmeyer. I don't care. Yeah,
Breckenmeyer is too cool. Like, if you know what I mean, for us to care too much about him.
And to a lesser extent, you know what it is, though? It's like, he's not a good guy. He cheats on his girlfriend.
And videotapes it.
Yeah. And then, goes to show the videotape mates. Is by accident, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But then, no, I don't know if it was, actually.
Oh, wasn't it?
Because he didn't say it. No. And then he just, like, showing his friends. That was actually a funny scene. He's like, you videotaped it. Like, tell me you sent the best tape to Tiffany. Yes.
Yeah, I guess like American Pie is much more innocent. Like, we just want to lose our virginity. Like, we're kind of a bunch of losers.
It's a very simple.
This one is like sleazier.
It is sleazier. Yeah,
that's what it
that's
is.
What it, that's what it is. Yeah. American Pie has a bit more heart to it. Like.
Yeah, even though it's a gross-out comedy. Like,
yeah.
But like, Jim has a lot of heart. He's like a lovable loser. Finch, to an extent as well. Like, nobody cares about Kevin.
Nobody cares about Kevin.
Ostracker is, you know, he's... Ostracker!
I don't know why.
Best line reading in the movie. Ostracker!
I didn't tell you to leave the game.
Ostracker!
That's all I've got, Terry.
I tell you, I've been watching some stuff as well, okay?
Oh, I wouldn't have rambled on if I'd known you had a bunch, too.
I had a bunch. I got, like, three.
Okay, great.
I took a blast from the past. I bought some Blu-rays a little while ago.
Nice.
Some John Carpenter Blu-rays.
I know you're not
a fan of They Live, but I bought Assault on Precinct 13 and Escape from New York.
Yeah, I've heard of those.
Assault on Precinct 13 is... How would I describe it? It's like a zombie movie, only the zombies are gang members.
Right.
Like, that's like, they're all, like, nameless, faceless gang members, and they gang up to lay siege to this. It's a great idea, actually. It's like this old police station that is being shut down.
1976?
Yeah.
Oh.
But there is a scene in this film that made me audibly gasp, be like, huh! Like, because it kind of builds up, does the groundwork, and then it kind of kicks into gear about 30 minutes. So it's all these following like a newly promoted lieutenant who is like taking over the watching of the old precinct while stuff is being moved to the new precinct.
Okay.
Like, this him kind of follows a father and a daughter who are like driving along. It kind of keeps popping into the people in the precinct while they're there. And also then it shows you the gang members. The gang members don't say anything. They're just weird. Like, they're almost like ghouls. Like, they're just kind of... You just keep hearing about, like, how the gang violence is on the rise. And, like, the first scene of the gang members is, like, them listening to recent casualties of, like, the night before, say, the police gunned down 10 gang members. They're listening to it on the radio, not saying anything, jamming knives into their arms and, like... glooping the blood from their arms and dropping it in a jar for some reason. Yeah. And you're just like, what the fuck? These are so unsettling. Like, and there's a scene about 30 minutes in, like I said, it made me gasp. And like, it does something that no film now could ever get away with. And I don't want to say it in case anybody goes to watch it. It's on Prime Video.
What is it?
No, you watch it.
What?
Just watch it. Like,
are you telling me that
I can't tell you, because
the moment that made you gasp, you can't say what it is.
So there's a whole thing where there's a guy in an ice cream truck,
yeah,
and he keeps seeing the gang guys drive up and down the road, and he's like, he knows they're bad news, and he has a gun under his thing, and the father and the girl that they've been following, she goes to get the ice cream, he's on the phone, he's like, oh, go get some ice cream while I call your mom or whatever.
Yeah.
And she goes to the ice cream truck, and he's like, I'm closed. He's real distracted. He's keep looking for the car that's driving up and down. And then she's like, no, you're not. Your lights are on. And he's like, okay, what do you want? She's like, vanilla twist. And he gives her a vanilla cone, and she leaves. And then as he turns around, the gang members are right beside the car, and they are like, they start beating the shit out of him. And the little girl's like, hey, wait a minute. This isn't vanilla twist. This is just vanilla. And she goes back to the truck. And I was like, oh, what's going to happen there? Well, something. She's going to maybe like save your man or distract them. And it's like the gang member just sees her and just like shoots her in the chest through the ice cream cone. Like, this 12-year-old girl. I was like, oh,
Jesus. Like, that would make you gasp.
Yeah, I was like, well, I did not.
I wasn't ready for that.
No, absolutely not. But it's fucking great. Like, it sounds
hardcore.
Yeah, and the whole... It's just... It's a... It's... How would you say, like... It's tension, build up of tension, release of tension, build up of tension and release of tension. It's like an hour and a half. It's fucking cool. It's
nice.
It's like
hour and a half for a 1976 movie. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like long second, as fuck. It's his second film ever, Carpenter. Nice. So it's pretty. I fucking loved that, man. I thought it was.
What's he done? What's he done? Let me just have a look here.
The Thing.
Anything.
Little movie called Dark The Thing.
I haven't seen it. The Thing. Haven't seen it. Christine. Haven't seen it. Big Trouble in China. Haven't seen it.
But you've heard of them, right?
Yeah, I've heard of them. Halloween?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
That's his third ever movie. And he does the music as well, which is cool. He does the music for them. So it's all like real like synthy, like
What a gift to be able to put the music to your own movie.
I think
you
he
know
does
exactly what you're after.
He's not directing movies anymore because he wants to become the world's greatest Xbox gamer. And he does the music. Like he's old now, but he does the music. I think the new Halloween movies he's just doing the music for. He's not having any other involvement
because he's too busy trying to be the world's best Xbox gamer.
Like,
he's 73.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I watched the movie last night. I watched these last two things I both watched last night. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Watched the movie called Snake Eyes.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if you've seen that, it
I think
on Disney that. Plus.
I haven't seen it recently.
I bought this in... I rented it in the wake of Con Air.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because it was Nick Cage on the cover.
Oh, there's one out this year, like a remake.
Yeah, it's a fucking G.I. Joe movie. Don't get sucked into that. Like, I was like watching it. I was like, how could I make a funny tweet about me watching Snake Eyes and then post a picture of like Nicolas Cage in like his flashy shirt? The only real Snake Eyes or something, like, I don't know.
There's
something there.
The pieces are there.
Yeah, I'm just not the one to put them together. But this movie is fucking deadly as well. I loved it. Again,
I'm looking at some clips here.
98
Gary Sinise
minutes.
I'm seeing in here.
Gary Sinise. I actually looked up, like, what's he been doing the last 10
where's
years?
Where's he been?
I'll tell you where he's been.
Colonel Dan.
He's Lieutenant Dan, first of all.
No. And I'm supposed to be the fan of the movie.
He's been on CSI New York for like 200 fucking episodes.
All right. So well, once he's got steady work, that's
all
right.
Yeah, but I want to see him in movies because he's good in this. Cage is like the first 20 minutes are like one long shot.
I don't know if I have seen this actually.
It's good.
It looks
man.
Good though, just from the stills.
It's on Disney Plus. It's 98 minutes. It's like it's set at like it's like a hurricane in Atlantic City. He's kind of a Nicolas Cage is kind of a sleazy cop, and it's like the big title fight is going on. So he seems to be like a bit of a degenerate gambler as well. So it basically follows him at the start. He's walking around backstage. The Secretary of Defense, for some reason, is going to be at the fight. Gary Sinise is his best friend, and he's like naval security for the whole thing or whatever. It's a conspiracy thing that happens. Nice. There's an assassination
attempt.
Looks
good, isn't
it? He's really good in it.
He looks
it, like.
He looks well.
Yeah, and he acts well in it. But there's some great... like I say, the first 20 minutes is all like... It's probably not one unbroken shot. But it's, you know, you're just following Nick Cage around for long periods, like interacting with three or four different people. There's a bit where, I'm trying to think. Did you see San Andreas?
No.
I'm trying to think. Or did you watch The Haunting of Hill House?
I did.
Do you know the actress Carla Gugino?
I'm just going to Google her.
You would know her. As soon as you Google her, you'll know her. She was in Gerald's Game as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So she it is, I think this is one of her first movies. But there's a scene where like she is like running around the hotel trying to get away from somebody. And she gets into somebody's hotel room. And there's somebody like kind of stalking her, trying to find her. And she's like four bedrooms back of one of the hallways, and the camera does this great thing where it floats up above the bedrooms and goes over like three or four different bedrooms. So you see, the first bedroom is like there's a couple having sex in it. The next one is there's somebody asleep in it. The next one is like frat boys having a party, and then it like floats down and into the room where she is like hiding. And I was like, this movie probably cost like $30 million. It's they're using it for working the camera and stuff like that. Like, it just, it makes me sad that they don't make a mid-budget thriller like this with, like.
And what did you say? What did you say? Sorry to interrupt you, but what did you say the reason was for there not being any mid-budget B movie type movies anymore?
Because they don't, like, make enough profit. Essentially, like, remember, right. I was telling you, I read that book on, like, yeah. Disney pretty much fucking screwed the pooch. Because this was a Disney movie. It was Touchstone Pictures.
Right.
And your man came in and was like, why are we making all these movies that make, like, 10 to 15 million profit when that fucking remake of Cinderella we did cost 150 million and made a billion? Like, why aren't we doing this? Why don't I own this, Andy? So that's basically, like, they're like, well,
surely now you can go back and you have enough now that you can come back and open up a
De Palma, like, directed this. Brian De Palma, who directed, like, Carrie, and he directed The Untouchables, like, a good, like, quality director. And this is kind of him, I'd say, slumming it, for lack of a better.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a B movie, but, like, it's a, you know, mid tier. You have two. Like, Nicolas Cage was a pretty big star at this point. Gary Sinise is also, like, a I guess, a big name actor from the 90s.
He's known.
Yeah, like, nowadays it'd be made on Netflix. It wouldn't look nearly as good. Like, it's all sets here as well, which is expensive. But, like, I was, like, looking at it, I was like, that's a fucking hotel. Like, they filmed this in a hotel. There's a casino floor. Yeah. Whereas you might see it look like a fucking CGI, some shite.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just makes me lament, you know, it's real true. Filmmaking, Andy.
When do you think it stopped? What year? If you could put a pin in.
I'd say late aughts. I'd say late aughts. Like,
okay. You know? 07, 08.
Yeah, around that, like, you know, maybe it'll come
right
back.
Around the recession. That's probably what it was. The recession hit, and they're like, we're not going to bother making these, you know, somewhat profitable movies. We got to think big.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That's what happened.
Yeah. I'll give you the book and you can read it.
That's fine. I've cracked it.
Last thing I watched, Andy, I've watched the first two episodes of Marvel's What If.
Oh, is it out?
It's out. Two episodes
and
in.
How is it? And be honest.
I really enjoyed the first two. The second one I enjoyed more. The first one is What If it was Captain Carter instead of Captain America. So Peggy,
I don't get this. What is, like, why are they doing this? What is this, like?
Well, this is a comic premise. This was in the comics. They used to come up with these, like, what if comics back when. So, like, that's what it is.
But I came in hot there.
I also have a sneaking suspicion that it's because they finished the way Loki finished, and they're gearing up for all this multiverse shit. That it's like, this is going to tie into all, they're all different multiverses. Like,
right.
So, like, the first one is, it's their 30-minute episodes. We're going to have to do a thing on the Patreon for it anyway. But
look,
like,
I'm all in for the MCU these days. I've been converted.
Here's the second one for you. So the first one is if Peggy Carter became the super soldier instead of Steve.
Okay.
And it's I actually really enjoyed it. The second one is what if T'Challa was Star-Lord instead of Peter Quill?
T'Challa?
Yeah, Black Panther.
Ooh.
And it is Chadwick Boseman's final performance.
Oh, wow.
Which is all the more poignant.
Oh, wow, I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, so, like, that's, but it's like, instead of them taking Peter Quill, they take T'Challa by accident.
Oh,
and it's
cool.
It's really interesting, cool. Like what they do with some of the characters in it, like, and they have majority of the people doing the voice acting. They have, like, Josh Brolin as Thanos, Space Nisio is back, Nebula.
Stop calling him that.
Never. Michael Rooker as Yondu, like, they're all here.
Okay.
So that one's good, and I really enjoyed it. So I'm excited to see.
Okay.
Looking by the trailer, it looks like it would be what happened if instead of Tony Stark getting blown up in, you know, Iron Man.
I've seen that premise.
It's
yeah,
like
that...
Killmonger saves him and they team up together, which I think would be interesting.
Okay, you know what? It actually sounds kind of good.
Yeah. So, I preferred the second one to the first one, even though the first one was very fun. I just liked what they were doing more. And it was, you know, I like the world of the Guardians of the Galaxy that has already been created a bit more than I mean, I loved that the first Captain America movie, but Guardians was a step up, I think.
Yeah, Guardians is rock and roll.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
Even though there is no rock and roll music in this What If episode.
Oh. Well, still.
That's a shame.
Listen, Terry.
What's the time, Andy? What are we at?
We're at 35 minutes.
Oof. Well.
And we started late. It was my fault, people, because although it's all the same to you. It's
They're not here. Password. They're not recording on a Thursday night with us.
The password changed on the company Zoom that I use.
Here's something, Andy. Scarlett Johansson had a baby boy. I'm just getting a...
Hey, Mazel Tov. Get a notification about that?
Yeah, for some reason. Guess what they called him?
What?
Cosmo.
No way.
Yeah.
Cosmo Johansson.
I got the name.
Who is she with?
Colin Jost.
Colin Jost.
He's one of those clowns of Saturday Night Live.
Colin Jost.
Here's two characteristics for him. When white met bread.
He's like Joe, well, like he's not. He's attractive, but he's very Joe average. Like, if he committed a crime, there's no way I'd be able to describe him.
He's a white guy. By the way, before we get into it, have you heard about this controversy with the Jeopardy? The guy who was to replace Alex Trebek.
Jeopardy? No.
Yeah, poor Alex. You know, passed away.
Yeah.
R.I.P. And they had a bunch of like guest hosts to see who would replace him.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the executive producer of the show, like he's been producing like Wheel of Fortune and The Price is Right for the last 10 years and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's been producing Jeopardy. He was presenting, but he's also the one like who's picking the host, and he's picked himself, so he's going to be the new host.
How about that?
But then, people are
suspicious there.
But then they're like, he shouldn't be like doing this, and they've been like his old podcast has a lot of like, how would you say, he's calling women by bad names,
right?
Talking about how, like, if he was, I think it was like he referred to people who are small, like an actress who was small, it's like, oh, you should try out for like Cambodian films because of your height or stuff like that. So,
a real piece of work.
Cancel this guy. Cancel him, I say.
Jesus, you can't pick yourself.
Yeah, I know. That's the worst thing. Like,
no, that's not fair. Listen, Terry, 38 minutes now. We will talk about a little show called The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was me doing an impression of when we do take it live. That's what I imagine the reaction will be.
Yeah, I mean, when's that going to be? 2024?
TBD.
TBD.
It aired April 6th, 1997. The episode, of course, is Grade School Confidential, the 19th episode of the 8th season of The Simpsons. It was written by by Rachel Polito and directed by Susie Dieter. Which establishes the long-term relationship between Seymour Skinner and Edna Krabappel. The idea of Skinner and Crandall becoming a couple had been around since the days when Mike Rice and Al Jean were showrunners. The episode's writer, Rachel Polito, took some inspiration for this episode from Bart the Lover, specifically Miss Krabappel's line to Bart about refusing to date Principal Skinner because his mommy won't let him out to play. The math magician is based on Bill Gates. The couch I know. The cakes in Agnes's cakebook were designed to accurately resemble real-life versions of them. Okay. Homer using his megaphone to talk to Marge.
It's a coconut cake.
I love that line. To talk to Bart... sorry, I'll start again. Homer using his megaphone to talk to... Yeah, fucking did it again. That was actually...
One more game.
By Dan Castellaneta.
Oh.
I'm saying that right?
Castellaneta.
Castellaneta. Season 8, I'm still asking. Yeah, that was ad-lib by him, which is...
Wow.
Quite impressive, because that's quite a memorable line. That's pretty much all I got, Terry. Let's just get the hell into it, huh?
What about our... Did you say where, you know, the viewership?
Oh, look at me. Jesus Christ, I'm all over the place. First I forget. Folks, by the way, before we even started this, I was trying to get the password off Terry, and then I texted him, and I was like, got it. And he's like, so? And immediately I'm like, so, log on. And then Terry's like, cool. And I'm like... I'm like, yeah, just hop. I was literally mid writing all caps, just get on the stream. And then he's like, so have you got the details of the stream? Or I was like, okay,
yeah,
I'm an idiot.
Yeah, you've been under a lot of pressure lately, huh?
And now I'm forgetting the ratings. Got a Nielsen rating of, wait for this, 7.7, equivalent to approximately 7.5 million viewing household, and was the fifth highest rated show on Fox that week. Care to give me the four in front of it?
I'm going to go X-Files.
Uh-huh.
Beverly.
Uh-huh.
Melrose.
Yeah. Now, think about the fourth one, because we haven't had it before. I'll tell
we
you
haven't?
That. No.
Give me the genre.
Let me click into it.
You don't know. That's going to be tough.
I'll tell you, it is a teen and family drama created by Christopher Kaiser and Amy Lippman. I'm talking your language now.
Okay. Is there anybody in it I would know? Or does that give it away?
Scott Grimes.
I know that guy.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
It's not Party of Five.
You know it, friend.
It is. Yeah. But you didn't go Matthew Fox. You didn't go Scott.
I don't know who these people are.
You know Matthew Fox.
Oh, sorry. You know what? I was reading the notable co-stars included. I wasn't reading the...
Scott Wolf, yeah, sure. Neve Campbell, I believe, is in it.
Lacey Chabert even in it.
Mm. We have to go back.
Excellent.
I finished my last rewatch anyway.
Good to hear it, Pat.
Great stuff.
Now, if you'll still excuse me.
Still makes me cry at the end.
I think I need to let my dog in. Actually, hello.
No problem. I'll keep this. No.
It's not his. It's not him. Never mind. It's that other son of a bitch next door.
The cat? I noticed you're posting a lot about your cat lately, Andy.
I love my cat. I fucking knew it.
I told you. Didn't I tell you?
That I love my cat?
I told you. Cats are the best, man.
Cats are... She couldn't be less trouble. And I tell you, I love the dog. Buddy is such a good dog.
But high maintenance,
having
right?
a dog makes me appreciate the cat even more.
Yeah. I'll
because
bet.
The cat is such less trouble.
They just like to lie around and give their belly an occasional rub.
Now, I do have to, I've had to, probably in the region of about maybe 15 birds and about 30 mice I've had to pick up off the floor out the back since we've had her.
Well, yeah, okay.
A ruthless assassin.
But their presence for you.
I know. I kind of, like, you know, I never sort of give out to her about it. I'm just like, okay, thanks very much.
Yeah,
that's as dinner. I'm passing by her. Like, thank you. Anyway, mm-hmm. on to my notes, which I don't have ready. Okay. Okay, I'm already laughing at the... First, there's something about Principal Skinner on the intercom.
Yes.
That's just always funny. And the idea that I don't... Like, what was the event that he's talking about that got... That was.
I'll tell you exactly now because it is. It's cancelled because of confusion.
Yeah. Cancelled due to confusion. Huh?
Now my phone is acting up, huh?
Hold
on. He's like, finally, the bake sale to raise money for the car wash has been cancelled due to confusion.
Due to confusion. Yeah. That's brilliant. And Martin's party, I was a big fan of him handing out the invitations of...
Here you go, Nelson.
Here you are, Nelson. And I kind of... That was the first time since he died that I... Or that since she died, should I say, the voice actor, that I kind of was looking at her like, ah.
Yeah. Martin, sad, know, isn't it? Like,
yeah. I was like, lovely Martin.
Yeah.
And you know what I love? When it cuts to like Homer... He's like,
I love this. Like,
he's giving Bart and Milhouse like a ride on the lawnmower on with like a dragging a wagon behind, and he's really trying. Yeah. He's like,
he's enjoying himself. We're in orbit now. What's that? A call from the president. Hello. Like, let me just say this about that. You know me. I love a good Nixon. No matter
the fact that
like, whoever does it, I love a good Nixon.
You have always been a fan of Nixon,
Andy.
I would like to... I'm just doing the Simpsons version of Nick. I would like to also express my fondness for that particular beer.
Oh, not bad. You got there in
that's
the
right.
end.
Yeah, kind of.
That's my style. I like to kick a window down.
I remember you saying that like at 19. I always remember that.
I also like Frost Nixon. And I was like... I don't know why I quoted it. I said it to like... to somebody in a different group of friends where I was like, you should marry that woman. She comes from Bermuda. No extradition. And somebody just turned around and they were like, that's a very good Nixon. And I was like, yes! All right.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. My Frank Langella version of Nixon.
What I like about...
You want me to get on the ground and grovel? No, sir.
It almost sounds like a bit of... What's his name? Al Pacino as Nixon.
Hoo-ah! Nobody can know what it's like to resign the presidency. Hoo-ah!
That's my style. I like to kick him on the down.
I had coffee with Kissinger half an hour ago.
Okay. Yeah, but the fact that Homer picks Nixon as his president.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, it makes sense because of space race, though, as well. Like...
Oh yeah, The funny thing was that I laughed at was after the line, which was great. He's like, "Let me just say this about that." It cuts to like Bart and Milhouse, but you still hear Homer in the background, like, "Okay, Mr. President," like he's still going on with it.
And like when they decide to go, or whatever, like Homer is oblivious to that they're gone.
Yeah,
and he's like gets caught up in the hammock. Mayday, mayday.
That was so cartoony.
Yeah, I love it. Like, and yeah, I did like the whole bad. Like, what are we at? A three, three and a half. You know, like their social standing.
Oh yeah.
We get beat up, but we get an explanation.
So then they go to Martin's party. And
something so satisfying about Bart snapping those fingers off.
I was gonna say the same thing. It's the snap and it's the clunk
in the glass
as it goes into the glass. And it always really bugged me that when he sees Carbuffle that he drops everything. I'm like, oh, you work so hard.
They just
for
come
that.
Flying out of your glass.
And I love like he's so uncomfortable. He's like, excuse me,
just
goes and stands at the fence, turns around, and looks at her.
You get the magician. He's a mad the magician.
But what was it? But
so it's like he's doing it, and it's like 28, and he's dividing 7 into it, and it's like it's long division. Yeah. It's like 3.
Yeah.
And but like it's like 3, and he writes 22, like as in like 3 sevens are 22. I don't know why that like this time around. I was like, just the fact that they wrote like 22 there. It's like 7 goes into 28 4 times. Like, oh, this is a magic 7.
What I like as well is that Skinner looks so delighted to be there when you see
Skinner.
He has
a little party hat and all on. Like,
yeah, he's like, Edna. Like, he's so big smile, like he's finally out of the house.
It's something so sad, though, as well, where he's like, I spend my Saturdays carefully laying out my clothes for the following week. Then I stroll down to the car wash to see if Gus is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, oh.
But I kind of then I liked the exchange at the bench or at the table, like, and I liked it kind of more than I was expecting. You know what I mean? Like the sort of dialogue between Edna and Skinner, I thought it was quite well done, and it was mad that it was a very adult sort of
And there's some great delivery. Like, I love, like, Krabappel. And she's like, oh, yeah, you gotta keep busy.
Yeah.
I collect matchbooks from glamorous nightclubs. It's amazing. If you just write to them and ask nicely. And then she just realized how pathetic.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's a really nice exchange where it's like, is this how you imagined your life, Edna? He's like, yes, but I was a very depressed child. Like, poor decision. And, like, you just see the eye in the background.
The whole time you just see the eye looking through.
And something about her delivery, like, Seymour!
It's like, it's a party, mother. I was invited. Well then I must have been invited too. I love that.
Help me.
Help me, Edna. And I love, like, Bart's face when he catches them actually.
So, you know, good.
He's just aghast, is the word. Like,
the whole thing with, like, Milhouse, he's like, you're so close. And Ralph, for some reason, I found it really funny this time, but Ralph is just crying at everything. Like, what was he crying at the first time? It was like,
he didn't pin the tail.
No, that was
donkey.
The second time. There was something that at the start where he was crying.
Oh, I can't remember.
But, like, the second time where it's just like, he puts on, he's not there. It's like,
Then you get
Milhouse towards the cactus. He's like, little closer, little closer. And, like, just the sound of, like, the
And he's like,
I'm gonna barf.
I love that. And then, like, they're all keeling over. Yeah. Like, I told you we should have served
the dad's voice. I'm ruined.
I think that's the introduction of Martin's parents.
It's not, because the dad was not in the Nashville episode. You got greedy,
Got greedy, Martin.
But, like, when Nelson, like, punches Martin in the gut, he's like, ha ha, ha, oh, and, like, just creases over, like.
Lisa's just like, I'm not sick. I just wanted to leave.
And then you get the whole thing where it's like Edna and Skinner. I think we know the answer to that. Oh, lucky boy. And then it's actually just really sweet where it's like she's like rubbing his hand.
Like,
do you have a breath mint?
Hang on one sec, my dog is scratching at the door.
Unbelievable.
Somehow he got in. I am sorry about that.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to your fans.
It was just a second for them. I chopped it out. It's you who had to wait, Terry. I'm apologising to you directly.
Oh, okay. Apology not accepted.
Well, all right then.
So then Bart, they start making out.
It's just like, I'm
happy
for
them. Like, you know,
it's nicer than I thought it was, you know? It's proper like adult dialogue. I think that's what it is. Like, when you get to them, like, I never hear either of them talking like this, you know.
Yeah, where like
normal people.
When she's like, you have an innocence about you that can be quite charming, and he's like, I've always admired your honesty and your ability to be personally offended by broad social trends. That was quite good. And then he's like, and your laugh.
Yeah,
that's the one. It makes me feel
like, you just think, like, poor Skinner, like, he's clearly terrified as well. And then he's like, no, the hell with it.
Yeah. And then, like, that's the ad break when Bart, the next time is there, you know, in the cafeteria.
I love that.
You get Bart, he's like, you guys are never gonna guess what I saw at Martin's party. And, like, Skinner be like, good gravy.
Thank you. It's just brown and water.
Love it. I use that line all the time.
that got a laugh out loud from me.
Really?
Yeah.
His deliveries of, because
that's what it is. Because who is he then?
Yeah, he doesn't look ethnic, but he sounds ethnic.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's just brown and water.
I can't place his accent at all.
It's like maybe it's supposed to be like some Balkan guy that fled the country and ended up in Springfield, like.
And I like just the little thing of, like, so he gets called to the principal's office, and I like just the whole thing of even Edna being like, what Seymour, what Principal Skinner means to say about it is, you know, like just
sometimes
these
boy's
touches.
Imagination can run away, and he's like, that's the best you can do? You can at least say you're giving her CPR, rehearsing a play. He's like, is it too late to say that now? And like, when she's like, we're just concerned that people, if we're people to find out, they might try and use this against us for their own advantage. Like me for one. He's like yes, you
like
for
you for.
Part of life has taught me one lesson repeatedly. It's to know when I'm beaten. That's talk deal.
I love the addition of the word repeatedly in that line. That's brilliant. And but like I was thinking, like when they go and they switch,
permanent records, like
as if it would, Bart's records wouldn't have the word Bart written on every piece of paper in there. He just puts Milhouse fan out and name on front. And what sort of friend is Bart that he's not like, well, put on someone else, Milhouse is my friend.
Yeah. No, he doesn't care.
It's like, yeah, that's fine. My next note is, I was a big fan of the Charlie Brown candle on Ed McCarroll's
table. Me too.
It always stood out for me. And like, it doesn't need to be there. You know what I mean? I just love that it is.
And I love the line as well where she's like, I don't entertain much. It's usually just soup for one, salad for one, wine for three.
Yeah.
And Skinner being like, I always thought I'd fall for a woman just like my mother, even though I didn't want to. And now that I haven't, I've discovered what true happiness can be. It's just really nice.
But now, here's my question. So she's like, swallow that applesauce and kiss me.
Mm.
And then, what I assume that they get down to it.
Yeah.
Like, it cuts to the candle burning, then it doesn't cut to the candles burning.
Maybe
all
he's
the way
going
down
on her. Like, how do you know?
You think?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
At that stage, maybe she's gone down on him. Maybe they got a bit of a 69 action.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Specifically, let's get into this.
Yeah, okay. Well, he said he's never had sex. Maybe
the
she
candles
pegged
burned
him.
At least 3 hours.
But, like, maybe she pegged him. Like, it's maybe not sex in the traditional sense.
Pegged?
Yeah. You don't know what pegged is?
No.
Oh, you naive.
Is it a
boy.
Blowy or a handy?
It's a strap on.
Oh. Pegged him.
Yeah.
You say it so casually, like, yeah, maybe she pegged him.
Handy, come on, it's 2021.
I'd never, honestly,
where
never
you,
heard that expression
where you been,
before.
Baby?
Because, like, he's all like, you know, it's like, hey, there's Ralph, he knows the score the next day.
Yeah.
He's like, Janie, Rainey, Fofaney, you know, all this sort of stuff. It's like, so clearly he's...
Jimbo,
like, okay,
has that
so
hand.
Yeah, I was like, clearly he's gotten some now.
I don't... Yeah, but also he could just be the happiest he's ever been in his life.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure he never got... Whatever she did to him, I'm sure he never got before.
Maybe it was like Stifler. Instead of being pegged, it was, you know, three fingers. Massage the prostate from the inside.
We should start our own... erotic fan fiction podcast.
Okay.
Of The Simpsons. What do you say on the Patreon?
Grant. Guys.
Okay, great.
We're open to
anyone?
Suggestions. You pitch us two characters.
God, no.
We'll do a script. 30 minutes.
We'll put them together.
Yeah.
Literally. Anyway, let's get...
I love the way he's dressed, though. Like, he has, like, the...
Like a teddy boy or something. Like.
Well, like he has the... What would you call it? The polo? Not polo, is it?
I just remember thinking...
Turtleneck. He has a white turtleneck on under his normal blue jacket. And like, he just seems so relaxed. It's great.
Chilling against the wall.
And like, Krabappel has the scarf around her neck or whatever. The ribbon around her neck. Like,
I just love those touches. Like, you wouldn't really get that in a different Simpsons episode, that they could spend so much time developing that story that, like, now you see, oh, they're feeling better about themselves and they're dressing like this. Like, you never see little touches like that, you know.
So I did like when, like, Bart gets called to his office. He's like, give this to Miss Krabappel, don't read it. And then he's reading it.
Yeah.
He's like, I hear reading.
Yeah. This is when they really start to take the piss out of Bart. Like,
yeah.
Like the
movies.
My favorite scene is probably the movie scene.
And how he gets the seats is so funny. Like, he's sitting like three rows behind her.
Yeah.
And it's just like one.
He just like...
Slips
ducks
down
behind three rows and pops up.
Yeah, it's great.
But like, he doesn't just pop up, he like pops up a bit and like lands back down.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone saw us?
No.
and went just as we planned. Except they confiscated my thermos of cola at the door.
Oh. You know, for Bobble, what are you two doing here?
Superintendent Chalmers.
Why, we're on a field trip.
With a student.
Yes, he's
purchasing refreshments in the lobby.
I'll go get him right now.
Car keys.
Stop pushing me. What's going on?
Just enjoy the movie. It is Tom Berenger.
You think they actually filmed this in Atlanta?
I don't know. I don't think it's important.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't have asked him a less interesting question as well. Do you think they really filmed this in Atlanta?
It's like, it's... starring Tom Berenger. I'm assuming it's some sort of like submarine movie or something ridiculous that a child would have no interest in. Like,
they're really taking the mic though.
And then you get, this is where, this is too much. Oh, really now? This is too much. Where it's, he has to sit with the mom.
Like, why? How is he agreeing to do this? Like, we're going to sneak out for a couple hours. I need you to keep my mother busy. How about no? Yeah. How about I just walk out the door?
I collect pictures of cakes that I clip out of the magazines. It all started in 1941, when Good Housekeeping featured a photo of a lovely cake.
You wouldn't happen to have any real cakes around here, would you?
Oh, my, no. I don't care for cake. Too sweet. Now, this is called a Lady Baltimore cake. At my age, I don't have much saliva left, so you'll have to lick my thumb before I can turn the page.
Oh, can I just turn the page for you?
No, but you can pick out any picture you want to take home with you.
Okay, that one.
No! Ow! You can't have that one! That's a coconut cake!
She's insane.
What are the rules?
He doesn't even want it. Like, yeah. That's what makes the joke. Is like, he's just reluctantly picking anything, and that's still wrong.
And it's like, when he was asking her, like, you wouldn't happen to have any real cakes around here, would you? Oh no, I don't care for cake. Too sweet. But it just has pictures of cake. Brilliant.
Yeah. I love it. Poor Bart.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's there, like, in
this
in class
is the worst.
It's like,
this is
how many times have I told you no talking? Yeah. He's like, go to the principal's office. Like, come on.
This has big smacks of, like, Treehouse of Horror. Detention.
Yeah, right? And bring that juicy, delicious brain of yours.
Sorry for that, folks. Like,
but then, like, the fact that, like,
I love you, Edna Krabappel. I won't say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love you, Edna Krabappel. Taking the absolute piss.
Bart's going to marry the teacher.
And Martin is like, now, Bart, they leave Martin in charge. It's the fact that he even clears his throat before, Bart, you must promise not to fall in love with me.
There was real smacks of Homer off Bart when he's like knocking on the doors. He's like, everybody follow me. And he's like knocking on the door. And I was like, that reminded me of like Homer.
That's true.
I don't know if it was like when he was town crier or maybe it was when the bear tax or something like that. But it's when Homer has like a march on his mind, you know, and he has that face on him. Like that.
He's got a score to settle.
I see Bart being Homer's son here.
Now that you say it, that's actually a good point, yeah.
Set your faces to son. It's just like,
he was dead right.
Dismissed.
Dead right to show the others.
And then you get, that's the act break. And then you get coming back, the students going home and telling. It's like, Principal Skinner and Miss Krabappel were kissing and swearing. And like, you get... now, let me get this right.
Go on. Say it right.
Pahushaketa?
You better get this right. Folks, I'm so
Sanjay's
sorry.
Sanjay's daughter. Here we go with that. Like, they're in the closet. The teacher was in the closet with the principal. And he had as many arms as Vishnu, and they were all very busy.
They all come back with such wild,
I love it. Such
stories.
Kid stuff. It's great. Like, and then like
in the library at the time, but Jenny told me that Principal Skinner and Bart's teacher, Mrs. What's her name?
Krabappel.
Yeah, Krabappel. They were naked in the closet together.
Oh my
goodness.
Wait a minute. Bart's teacher is named Krabappel? I've been calling her Crandall. Why didn't someone tell me? Oh, I've been making an idiot out of myself.
Great little addition for Homer, from Homer.
Homer is in his assassin mode. He's wearing his assassins, you might say. Exactly. Yeah. And then, like, Ralph. Mrs. Krabappel and Principal Skinner were in the closet making babies, and I saw one of the babies, and the baby looked at me.
Yeah, that's a classic kid thing to say.
The baby looked at me. And, like, I love how Wiggum is just in his vest.
Yeah.
Like, Sarah, get me Superintendent Chalmers.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Skinner. And the whole, I love that. It's like, Skinner, the whole town's in uproar about your sleazy shenanigans.
It's like, no, I'm going to give you a chance. You can either give up this tawdry, fulfilling relationship, or you two will be out of here so fast your mortarboards will spit. And where is your mortarboard anyway?
No, it's right here, sir. I love
that. So that's such a good joke. That's such a good joke as well. Like,
he's like, he just puts it on straight away.
And then, but like, it gets like very serious where he's like, what'll it be, Seymour? And he says he can't do it. And he's like, well, then I want you out of the building by 3 o'clock. You're fired. Edna too. And it's like, no jokes, you know, it's just...
Yeah, I like the way he just throws in the Edna too, like, so cold-heartedly, like, about someone else losing their job.
Yeah.
Like, Edna too.
Then, like, you get a lovely scene with Krabappel. He's like, Nelson, Nelson, how many kids have you beaten up this year?
Yeah, I don't know, 50?
50, where does the time go? Like, she just seems, like, so, like...
almost at peace with it.
Yeah, and sad as well. And then it's nice that, like, they apologize to him, you know, or Skinner apologizes to him for taking advantage of him. And, like,
and then Bart sort of rouses Skinner up for, like, hey, don't take this.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that, like, he's finally, like, saying, you know what? No, he's like, I'm going to do what Bart should have told me to do a long time ago.
Like, I love when he's like, we're not coming out. He's like, Willie hears you. Willie don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like.
So Bart's like, obviously you two have no experience creating a scene.
Yeah.
And I love, like, cutting to the news team. It's like, we got an escaped octopus on the roof of Springfield Elementary. Yeah, two, like, cameras.
He's like, so once again, I've been had. An even more interesting story has developed on top of this two-story stool. A love story.
Brilliant.
Brockman.
So once again, I've been had.
Yeah. And then you get the whole thing, Marge, like, Homer, Bart's up there. Bart, this is your father. Do you know where the remote is?
That's brilliant.
I looked all around the house. And, like, when Bart says, like, did you check your pockets? He's like, it was, like, it's big loud.
It was in my pocket. That's what makes it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Chief Wiggum's like, fine, don't come out.
They play the romantic music. They shine the lights. Yeah. And Bart's like, turn it off. Working like a charm, boy.
Hit him with the lights. And it goes through the colander. Like,
that's so really nice.
Like, isn't it, like?
That was my next note. Like, this is so nice.
Yeah.
This dance. And then what I always liked about this segment is the way when they throw the phone in through the window. And just the thing lands, like, the receiver lands right on the ringer, and it's just like starts ringing straight away.
It's good,
excellent, very very satisfying.
I did like when they're saying, like, she's like, "Oh, let us talk to the townspeople," and he's like, "All right, who do you want to talk to first? The guy in the bumblebee suit or the woman with the bone through his hair?"
My opinions are as valid as the next man. all right,
just come on down, like.
He has no time for this.
And then you get the whole thing where, like, Bart again, like, just maybe taking it one step too far. He's like, I have a bomb.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, those aren't those sticks are hot dogs. Armor hot dogs.
What kind of man wears armor hot dogs?
It's great. And it's just really nice, like, when Krabappel is basically saying, like, just tell him how he brought a little happiness into each other's lives.
Yeah.
Ask them why they're forcing two dedicated people to choose between their careers and their hearts. Mm-hmm. And then you get, like Flanders.
We're talking about S-E-X in front of the C-H-I-L-D-R-E-N.
And then it is just one of the best, like, isn't it? It's like just coming up with the, like, sex cauldron.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's just like thinking of, like, how did you come up with that in the writer's room? Like,
like a word that sounds like, like,
it doesn't
close
even sound like it, you know.
it's classic Krusty, just like not paying attention.
Yeah, sex cauldron. I don't think it was that place down. The fact that there was a place called Sex Cauldron, like, what the fuck? Like,
was there actually?
No, but, like, that's what Krusty said. Like, yeah. That implies that there some sort of club that was called
in
Sex
Springfield.
Cauldron. Yeah, like,
I always remember when I was a kid, like, for whatever reason, this is one of the memories that I have of my mom absolutely cracking up at that joke when we were watching The Simpsons one day. I just, like, out of all, I don't have any real memories of watching The Simpsons about my mom because she didn't really watch it, but I just remember that one scene just absolutely cracking up for about 10 minutes straight.
I was the same, like, with my dad and the two Krusty's episode, and it was when they went on the bar, and it was, he either hit the head, and it's the Godfather theme, like,
oh,
do,
yeah.
Do, 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 do. He just pissed himself laughing. Like.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and then, like, you get the whole thing, like, this is absurd. I did not have relations in that closet. And the fact is, I haven't.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is when he announces it.
Yeah.
I haven't ever had relations.
I am a virgin.
Virgin.
Yeah.
The face on everyone are just like,
ah. And then, like, Homer is like, does this mean that Miss Krabappel is a virgin too?
Huh.
Yeah, good.
What a mad,
good.
Like, what a mad storyline, you know, for an episode of essentially what started out as a kid's, like, show.
It's still very grounded as well, though. Like, you know,
but you know what I mean. Like, just that the topic of, like, I am a virgin.
Yeah.
Like, I never thought I'd see
you
that.
You never thought this would be the climax to a Simpsons episode, like, or that's the resolution. You know? And then it was like, well, it's clear you've been falsely accused because no one, anywhere, ever would pretend to be a 44-year-old virgin.
I love at the end as they're all walking away, it's like, I'll never look at him the same again.
That was more than I wanted to know.
Yeah, Lenny's lines of it. That was more than I wanted to know.
So
that's kind of the end then. It's like,
keep the
what
labels.
I like.
Now, the question I have is, because, like, here it's, they wrap it up, and it was like, I'm out of here, skinny, crabby, you know, and they say they're breaking up or whatever.
Yeah.
Then they're like, that's what I love about grade school. They believe whatever you tell them, and then they go into the closet.
And he
pops the cork.
Pops the cork.
Right. Okay. Now, the question I had this time around.
Go on.
Was he lying about being a virgin?
Maybe he was.
Because that would recontextualize the pegging that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
I didn't want to. I didn't want to blow my load. Yeah, keeping in theme back then, we were talking about it, but it implies.
Because I certainly got the impression halfway through
I
that
inferred
they
maybe that
hopped on the good foot and did the bad thing, as they say.
Yeah, but like, would that be the first time you did it, or it? You know, I would think
I would believe that was his first time doing it. But I believe that he did it with Edna. Now that you say it.
But, you know what I'm getting at, though? Like, if he, like,
He lied to the town, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he might be onto something there.
You know?
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you what. Save it, Terry. Should we get into ratings?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Achoo. Let me ask you something, Mr. Suckhead.
You're gonna put me on the
spot. What did you think of it?
I actually loved it. I wasn't sure what I was going to think going into it, but I thought it was like a more adult storyline involving two of the adult characters, like, actually. Like, not like there's comedy in it, but like they're genuinely, like, you see the progression in a short space of time from like meeting at the party to, like, you know, it flows very well. Like, they just it gets ramped up more and more, and then when it gets to the whole Bart doing everything for them, like, there's some really funny stuff that they do with that. But I suppose it was just more like the dialogue that I liked the most. Like, I liked the little touches of, you know, like when I'm saying Krabappel, like what Seymour mean, I mean what Principal Skinner, or like them dressing nice and all this, like that's what makes me care, because you see how, like, you see how happy they are without it being said, you know what I mean? You just can tell by the way they're acting and all that. So anyway, I thought it was very nice. It had loads of heart. It had jokes. My MVP is going to be Principal Skinner. And my rating, Terry, if you're asking, will be a 8.8.
Oh, damn.
That's right. How about you, friend?
My rating is also going to be an 8.8. Just
Is that two in a row?
I think so, actually. Hang on a second. Two where we might have matched up, yeah. I really enjoyed it as well. It never felt that, like, it's a grounded episode. It never felt like it went super high or anything was heightened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they're, like, raising things for Bart to do and stuff like that, like, it never felt that, like, it got ridiculous. Yeah, it was gradual. Yeah. And it wasn't a steep incline or anything like that. Like, you know, even the height of it was Bart telling Krabappel that he loved her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how as crazy as it got.
True, yeah.
So it gets a big plus in that. It's one of the rare ones where it's a side character centric episode that I think is all the better for having less of the Simpsons in it. Like,
yeah,
Homer, Marge, Lisa are barely in it. Bart is obviously the kind of the key between the two of them. Homer is doing his assassin stuff, where every scene that he's in is great, I think, to be honest. Every joke he has is great. But you're right, loads of heart, and it felt real.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised. Like,
the conversation felt real.
I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. I thought it was going to be like a lower end.
Me too.
But really, really good. It was a little
MVP?
Stealth one. Skinny Boy.
Nice. So we matched up perfectly.
Yeah, I think it has to be Skinner, though.
Chalmers
was probably a close second. Because I did enjoy Chalmers. Like,
Krabappel I liked as well.
Yeah, she was good in it too. Like,
in terms of comedy, like, I mean, those two.
I always want to give it to Chalmers whenever he's in an episode. You know, like,
Skinner. Yeah.
And I just, that joke, I don't know why, tickles me so. It's like, you think they shot this in Atlanta? I don't know why.
Of all the questions,
I don't know why. It's just, asking Bart of all, like, how would he know? Like,
what's he saying? Why is a sleepy kid in his PJs?
And he's like, I don't know. It's not important. Yeah, you're right.
Listen, can we get our plugs in?
Sure,
Terry?
Sure.
Where can they find us?
Why don't you tell the good people? Look at you.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Put It In H Podcast. You'll find links to everything we do there. You can email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com. If you want to find everything that we do, you can check out our Instagram bio, click on the link, and we have our latest episode. We have video podcasts. We have our other podcast, What's So Great About Marvel. We have merch. We have a whole bunch of stuff. And most importantly, we have a link to our Patreon.
Ooh, the Patreon. Well, Andy already mentioned our What's So Great About podcast. Behind the paywall, for the low, low fee of $5 reduce, you get access to all of our $5 a month, €450, and of course, we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
If you become one of our Players Club, you get access to all the episodes from our What's So Great About sister podcast. We've done mini-series on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, 90s action movies.
I'm told that the MCU one, sorry to interrupt, is the best thing that we've done. I've been told that by a few people.
Well,
so
all you got to do is pay to, you know.
You're calling them liars.
I mean, hey, I'm not.
Exactly.
Are you?
No, I'm not. No. Are you the listener?
You are. We're just finishing up our Ryan Gosling series. One ep to go. It's Blade Runner 2049. So that's going to be watched. Well,
Terry, don't freak out. But the doll that normally sits behind you is gone, and I just seen a human walk past the curtains.
Oh my god! So that's our last one, and then we'll be doing maybe a little mini series after that, an Andy's choice. But you know, stay tuned.
A good one.
Stay tuned.
Serious this time.
The other 2 weeks of the month, you get bonus content.
That's where I come in. I love the bonus content.
There's a lot of top fives in there. We're recording per a listener request. Top five stand-up specials this week, but we've done top five performances in movies, top five needle drops, top five Beatles songs, which was very fun. We've also done like episodes on The Last Dance. We've done some on Beyond the Mat. We've done some where Andy has made a mini playlist for me, like an emo playlist. I've made him a hair metal playlist. I've made a music from the movies playlist. There's a whole bunch of like fun offbeat stuff. I would say there's only one of those that I have not listened to. Can you guess it?
That you haven't listened to?
Of all the bonus Patreon content stuff that we've done.
One of the emo ones?
No, gotta listen to that.
Hamilton?
No, that was worth the listen as well. We're doing on Hamilton.
Which one did you know?
It was like the top five kids songs that we did.
That actually was all right.
I remember after recording it being like, well, that felt that very light on the bone.
Yeah, you know what it was? I shouldn't have gone with just kids like movies. I should have gone with almost like guilty pleasure, because there's loads of pop songs that Johnny listens to that I fucking love, but I would never admit.
Will you force me to pick like African nursery rhymes?
I didn't force you to pick
anything. You said what Bonnie listens to, and she only listens to the African nursery.
I'm still going around this house singing "Doo's Elephant." There's
your outro song, anyway.
Now you're talking.
So yeah, that's our Patreon content. You know, give us money, please. If you can't afford to give us money, that's fine. You know, it's tough there out there, pandemic, all that, etc., etc. But you know what you could do? You could write a review or give us a rating. Now, Andy, Edna Krabappel and Principal Skinner were making out, and Principal Skinner had as many arms as Vishnu, which is, as we all know, four arms. But I don't want 4-star review. I want a 5-star review. Don't you guess to me.
Isn't it 8 arms?
Vishnu is represented with a human body, often blue-skulled, with 4 arms. So
Okay, sorry, I shouldn't have interrupted you then.
Fucking arsehole.
I didn't want you to offend anyone.
Unbelievable. 5-star review, bit. Please. Yeah, you did ruin it, yeah. Hope you're happy.
My own favourite bit. Yeah.
How about you do the bits from now on, all right? Hey, Starsky.
Excellent. Yeah. I feel like we use that every week.
So, yeah, 5-star review, please.
Please.
And as always,
share it. Tell your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that does, you know, tag somebody. Tag Put an H Podcast on Twitter or whatever like that. Like,
just go ahead and do it there. Pause it for a second. Just go ahead and do it there.
Say, at Put an H Podcast. We'll wait. Doing great stuff. If 50 of you did that, you know, your friends might listen, see that, and we might get, you know, 50 new listeners. How about that?
How about that? Huh? How's that sound, huh? Anyway.
Never tagging it, Minetti.
That's not what I
heard. If you've made it this far, you're doing the Lord's work.
Well done.
Yeah, well done. You're, what are we here? 122 by my watch. Mm-hmm. So congratulations and thank you. And of course, I like you a lot.
Hey, I love you. You know what? I'm not comfortable saying I love you anymore.
No, you have to. You have to. Because then if you sign up for the Patreon, you get the big L from me.
I'm not even going to make that joke. Goodbye. thank you.
Well, okay.
Un éléphant qui se balançait sur une toile, toile d'araignée, et qui trouvait ce jeu tellement amusant que bientôt vint un deuxième éléphant. Deux éléphants qui se balançait sur une toile, toile d'araignée, et qui trouvait ce jeu tellement amusant que bientôt vint un troisième éléphant. Doum, badoum, doum, badoum, badoum. Trois éléphants qui se balançaient sur une toile, toile d'araignée, et qui trouvaient ce jeu tellement amusant que bientôt vint un quatrième éléphant. Doum, badoum, doum, badoum, badoum. Quatre éléphants qui se balançaient sur une toile, toile d'araignée, et qui trouvaient ce jeu tellement amusant que bientôt vint un cinquième éléphant. Doum, badoum, doum, badoum, badoum. Cinq éléphants qui se balançaient sur une toile, toile d'araignée, et qui trouvaient ce jeu tellement amusant que bientôt vint un sixième éléphant. Doum, badoum, doum, badoum, badoum. Six éléphants qui se balançaient sur une toile, toile d'araignée, et qui trouvaient ce jeu tellement amusant que tout à coup...